From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. There has been a delay in the jury's announcement of its verdict in the sentencing phase of the trial of Washington sniper Lee Boyd Malvo. We'll have more on that as the story develops. First, though, on to other news. A new poll out today reveals Americans' attitudes about the flu outbreak this year and vaccine shortages. The poll by the Harvard School of Public Health found that nearly half of people with chronic illnesses had skipped the flu vaccination. Among children aged 6 to 23 months, more than two-thirds didn't get vaccinated.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say these two groups are at high risk for serious diseases resulting from the flu. The results come as the media storm over the flu outbreak and the vaccine shortages is subsiding. But even as the media spotlight fades, the flu is still widespread in 36 states. NPR's Snigdha Prakash examines the outbreak and how it's been covered by the media.
This is the story of how, in a few short weeks in late November and early December, Americans changed their view of a common infectious disease. The flu went from being an inconvenience to a mortal peril that required an immediate public response. The good news, according to public health officials, is that a record number of Americans are now vaccinated against the flu. The bad news is that some of those at highest risk aren't, because the nation is running out of vaccine. The shift in attitude took public health experts such as Michael Osterholm by surprise. He's director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota.
One of the problems we have in public health is that we are the classic two-footed drivers. We have one foot on the accelerator and one foot on the brake.
The foot on the accelerator emphasizes health hazards. The brakes are used when people overreact. But the balancing act doesn't always work.
The flu shot crisis. Is there a dose of the vaccine for you?
Two of the biggest makers of the flu vaccine are out. Is there enough left
to go? Are you panic-stricken at the notion of running out of the flu vaccine without your kids getting properly vaccinated? We're going to be talking about the flu vaccine shortage with the head of the CDC.
The CDC confirmed its first case of the 2003 flu season by early October, weeks before it usually does. By mid-November, the CDC knew the main type of flu spreading through the western states was a virulent influenza A strain. On November 17, CDC Director Dr. Julie Gerberding gathered reporters to warn Americans that the flu could be bad this year.
This is the time for Americans to really step up to the plate and get vaccinated against influenza, especially because this could be a worse than usual flu season, and especially because we have this particular strain circulating that in some previous situations been associated with perhaps more severe disease.
Gerberding was pushing hard on the public health accelerator. The flu kills some 36,000 Americans every year, but Americans as a group are so unconcerned about the flu that in many years, millions of unused flu shots are thrown away. Last year, manufacturers discarded 12 million doses. Dr. Glenn Nowak, Associate Director of Communications for the National Immunization Program at the CDC, says back in November it looked like 2003 would be another bad year for flu vaccine makers.
At that point, the manufacturers were telling us that they weren't receiving a lot of orders for vaccine for use in November or even December. It really did look like we needed to do something to encourage people to get a flu shot.
The CDC worries when manufacturers have to throw away flu vaccine. They know that means that millions of Americans who could be protected from flu are not. It also means that profits are thinner for vaccine manufacturers, so companies are less likely to invest in producing better vaccines. Still, within a few days, the CDC may have been wishing it hadn't pushed quite so hard on the accelerator.
In Colorado, the flu bug has hit hard.
ABC's Good Morning America the day after Thanksgiving.
So far, there are nearly 4,000 confirmed cases of flu in that state, and four people have died, all of them children.
You know, it happened so quick and so sudden that he was...
The airwaves were flooded with images of the children who died in Colorado. People lined up for flu shots around the country. Within days, spot shortages of vaccine developed. Those, too, fed the sense of urgency about getting one of those elusive shots. Now, CDC Director Julie Gerberding began to reassure Americans that the flu usually doesn't kill the healthy. She was hoping Americans would save flu shots for the elderly and the very young. Here's Gerberding slamming on the public health brakes on December 8th on NBC's Today Show.
For children who are ages 6 months and 23 months, the flu vaccine can actually help keep them out of the hospital. So we are encouraging it for those kids. Other healthy older children may benefit from the vaccine, but they're at very small risk for any of the serious complications.
In 3 short weeks, some Americans had developed an obsession with the dangers of the flu. Thanks to the CDC's efforts to promote mass vaccinations, the subsequent deaths of a small number of children, vaccine shortages, and overheated media coverage of all these events. But did this sense of danger fit the facts? Is this flu season exceptionally dangerous? It had started early. Dr. Megan Murray of the Harvard School of Public Health says that could suggest a bigger flu epidemic.
It also might just mean that it occurs early and ends early.
The deaths of those children in Colorado last month were also alarming to some officials because they came in a cluster. 42 children have now died from the flu. The CDC says a mathematical model predicts an average of 92 deaths among children from the flu each year. So officials won't know for some time whether this year's flu is worse for children. That doesn't necessarily mean the CDC was wrong to sound an alarm back in mid-November. Again, Megan Murray.
Unfortunately, public health officials are in the position that they have to do something, often with very limited data. We can't say, well, we couldn't decide, given the data, so we let an epidemic happen.
But, as we've seen, pushing the public health accelerator is tricky business, because the media may choose to hype the risk because of its own need to attract and hold on to an audience, and because infectious disease outbreaks can be very unpredictable. Still, public health experts say this year's flu scare may have a silver lining. They hope politicians in Washington will now invest more money in developing ways to quickly make more flu vaccine. Snigdha Prakash, NPR News, Washington.
Many news accounts have used the term epidemic to describe this year's flu outbreak, but what does that really mean?
Dorland's Illustrated Medical Dictionary defines epidemic this way: occurring suddenly in numbers clearly in excess of normal expectancy. This year's outbreak has yet to exceed some of the thresholds set by the CDC for declaring an epidemic. One key statistic is the rate of flu deaths, and so far, that rate is a bit below the CDC's epidemic threshold.
Well, this leaves public health officials in a quandary. In a teleconference last Friday, the CDC's Julie Gerberding tried to strike the right balance.
There's no firm dividing line between what's an epidemic and what's not an epidemic, but I think when you look at a map that shows widespread influenza activity in 36 states that we regard it from a common sense perspective as an epidemic. From a mathematical, statistical perspective, the number of cases has not exceeded our epidemic threshold, but that's really a mathematical, epidemiologic, kind of scientific perspective and not a common sense view of what's really happening.
So, score one for common sense over science, at least in this round.